Hello and welcome, glory to God, from around the world. We are so delighted that you are joining us again for a very exciting. All our subjects are exciting, but thank you for joining us for a very exciting message today. And as you can see there on the screen, it's entitled, What is Praying Without Ceasing? Because a lot of people just don't understand what that means. But I would like to tell you that it's going to be a very exciting message that we are going to be discussing today. And what is praying without ceasing? And probably a lot of you are already asking that question anyway. But I would like to take you back to the words of Apostle Paul there in Thessalonians. Apostle Paul reminded the Thessalonians of the importance of prayer to keep their faith strong by praying without ceasing. And obviously, that is the question that many of us have. What does without ceasing really literally mean? When Apostle Paul wrote the epistle there, we know as First Thessalonians, to the church of Thessalonica, he sent it shortly after he had established a congregation there, and he wanted them to grow in faith and grow strong continuously. So in Apostle Paul's letter, he affirmed and commended the ongoing love and passion for Jesus. And to have the ongoing love and passion for Jesus, he exhorted them to pray and pray all the time. So Paul also warned the church of Thessalonica to be prepared for the second coming of Jesus by keeping their hearts pure and holy for his return. And it is in this context, as he was writing, that we find Paul asserting these words, pray without ceasing. In the 50th chapter of the Thessalonians, Paul urged the church, Apostle Paul, to cling to the gospel they had received and to hold unto what was good and what was righteous. And therefore, he exhorted them and said they were to continue living holy lives. And obviously, prayer was an essential to that instruction. So he reminded them the importance of prayer. And that's what we are seeing right here, the importance of prayer to keep their faith strong and stay connected to God's truth all the times. I don't like to get into Greek a lot, but in this particular case, I will, so that I can explain something here about this. But the Greek word translation or translated without ceasing means constantly or without intermission. In most Bible translations, the word is interpreted as without ceasing, but other versions also translate, like NIV translates, praying continually all the time. Message translation says praying all the time. But whichever version of the Bible you read, the meaning remains the same and is consistent with the Greek word there, which is constantly and without intermission. So the question now, can we really pray without ever stopping? So a lot of people ask that, can we really pray without ever stopping? In other words, you are praying all the time. And today in our world and in our society, with all the busy schedules, you go to work, you are just praying, whether you may not shut your eyes, but you're praying all the time. I mean, that's a big question. It would be impossible to actually pray without stopping. Looking at it, we have thoughts, we read, we sleep, we eat, we converse with others, we work. And we have all other responsibilities to tend to throughout the day that would disrupt our attempt to constantly be in the mode of prayer. There are plenty of tasks and roles we need to participate in. Sometimes that would hinder, not sometimes, but all the times would hinder our ability to pray without ever stopping. However, though, when we take into the account the context of what Apostle Paul was writing or wrote, we recognize that Apostle Paul was not instructing believers to give up their responsibilities and only pray. But this passage teaches us that we need to commit ourselves to pray and make it a top priority in our lives. Notice I said, make it a top priority in our lives. Constantly during the day, I find myself, after reading the Word of God, pondering and praying in my heart. Fortunately, you know, in my own business, I have a lot of time. As I am doing whatever I am doing, I'm constantly praying. And you can too, because really, prayer is not just shouting and shouting all over the place. You can actually be in an environment with so many other people, but you are praying from your spirit. And I find myself doing that a lot. And by doing that, you remain holy and pure and without contamination, because what you are doing is you are communing from within you with the Heavenly Father. Oh, Rashikra Brada Vangri Dishta La Brangra Dabura Vekishte Rishto Rabakrushte Vereto Krustare Vianta. And see, I can be just quiet like that, and I am just, my mind is on Jesus. My heart is on the Lord. I am in prayer mode. Why do we have to pray? A lot of people ask. There are several things I would say. Let me give you about six reasons why you have to pray, and that there are many other reasons, but I'll just highlight you. Number one, prayer is the way that we talk to God, is the way that we hear God and keep our minds on Him. When you pray, you are talking to God, you are communing with God, and you are also hearing from Him. It's not just one-way conversation. A lot of people think prayer is just pray. No, it's time of being quiet. When you have a friend, have a person, you don't want to be talking all the time. You need to give them opportunity to tell you something too. So prayer is a communication. And communicating means that you are allowing the other party to say something. Number two, prayer is the channel in which we can let go of fears and concerns. How we lift up our praises and thanks to God. Number three, prayer is vital to our spiritual formation and growth. Just as Jesus was often taking time away to go to pray, we should do the same. There are times when you are not just praying by yourself or just continuing in inward cry to the Lord, but there are times when you just say, you know what, I'm going to commit myself, I'm going to go. Some of the people here in U.S., sometimes they have another home somewhere. They call them a vacation home, and you go there and spend a weekend, and you are just talking to the Lord. This is the time you express your heart to the Lord. This is the time you worship God. Hallelujah. And sometimes if you're out there, and there are some, I grew up in a forest or in a place with a forest and trees and valleys and mountains. And so you know what? In that place, and I love it, I loved where I grew up. As a matter of fact, let me see, this picture here where it says what is praying without faith, you see those mountains and you see this, you know, varies and all that. You know, I grew up in a somewhere similar to that. But so what I'm saying is sometimes is you indulge and give yourself to prayer. And that's when, you know, some of our ministry team and some of the people, pastors and church leaders in Africa, I see them, they go to the mountains and they go to a hill or they go to a forest and they worship God there all night. And that's because there is no place, nobody will interrupt with you there. Number four, Paul knew that prayer was key to guarding our hearts against the evil and keeping ourselves in line with God's word. There is so many things going on around the world today, and if we do not commit to pray, if we are not in prayer, see, if you are not committing to prayer, you are either watching dirty stuff on TV, which you should not be watching, or just on your cell phone, just going through and watching all kinds of stuff on your cell phone. But you see, when you are in prayer, when you are constantly praying, something, krada, rushta, bakura, mahanda, zere, brokovi, you are in tune with heaven, your heart is pure, you are giving your heart to God, and you are constantly in prayer. Number five. Prayer is what helps us find our way through difficult times, even tough decisions, expressing our hopes and joy. There are times as a businessman when I needed some decisions. You may need some decisions in this life. For example, where are you going to take your children to school, where or college, or where are they going to go next, or what's going to happen, or what you're going to do? You know, you need wisdom. And when you start to pray and you get in the lane of prayer, it's like you engage God. And when you engage God, God gives you wisdom on making the right, and you start to make the right decisions. And number six, prayer draws us closer to God and helps us practice our faith. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Apostle Paul serves a serious reminder to all believers how significant our prayer is to our faith. If you want to maintain your faith, you have to be a man and a woman of prayer. Faith that goes without prayer can be chopped up. The enemy will come and just discourage you and so on and so on. But as Christians, so it is important to pray to God and to carve out time throughout the day to speak to him and give him worship, okay? Prayer has been a spiritual practice since the beginning of time. And the point Paul was saying here or meant was that prayer is still something that all Christians need to integrate into their busy schedules and busy life. Now, in the Bible, there are many kinds of prayers demonstrated. And in your own life, you may also be accustomed to saying a variety of prayers, and we are going to see some of them here today. We are going to see seven major types of prayers in the Bible. There are more than that. Some say there are five, some say there are four, some say there are so many numbers put out there. But in general, in any Christian life, these are some of the seven ones. Number one, just the Lord's Prayer, which is Jesus. The disciples came to Jesus and asked him, teach us to pray, and God and Jesus told them how to pray. That's why we call it the Lord's Prayer, or Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. There in Matthew 9:13, the model prayer which was taught by Jesus, that was what Jesus told the church. He said, this is how we should pray. And if you're out there and you don't know how to pray, Jesus already said this motto here in Matthew 6:9, chapter 6, verse 9. And he said, this is how we should pray. Father in heaven, O our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. We should not complicate prayers. Jesus made it so simple. Anybody, any child of God can pray that prayer. Just turn to Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13 and meditate on that. Number two kind of prayer, thanksgiving or gratitude, which is worship, reverence, devotional, or praise. Psalms chapter 9, verse 1 says, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell you of your wonderful deeds. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2 says, there is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you, and there is no rock like our God. Luke chapter 1, verse 46 through 48. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in my Savior, for he has looked unto the humble estate of my servant. Wow, is that amazing? The other kind of prayer, which is number three, is prayer which is seeking forgiveness. At the end of our broadcast, we like to give people opportunity to repent of their sins, receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But there are times throughout the day you do something you should not do, you say something which you should not say, or you have a bad thought, or something happens in your job and you react in an ungodly way, and therefore you need to seek God for forgiveness. Psalms 51, verse 1 says, be merciful to me. Psalmist David says, be merciful to me, O God, because of your constant love, because of your great mercy. Wipe away my sins, O God. Wash away all my evil and make me clean from my sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from unrighteousness. And while I'm on this point, I'd like to say this, brethren. The enemy has worked hard to cause people to have condemnation. And some of our brothers and sisters, they also work to cause us to feel condemned. But can I reiterate you tonight in this broadcast and say this? The Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you are a believer, don't you receive condemnation from the enemy. Once you ask for forgiveness, God has forgiven you. You are free. Go on with your business. Let the naysayers, those people who don't think you are forgiven, let them keep criticizing you and judging you. But God is your judge. Amen. Number four. Type of prayer. Prayers for various needs, like prayer for healing and guidance. Psalms 27, verse 7, the Bible says, hear my cry, hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. Psalms 119, verse 133. Guide my steps by your words, and I will not be overcome by evil. Jeremiah 17, verse 14, heal me, O Lord, I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for you are the one I praise. Luke chapter 11, verse 9, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Philippians 4, 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Philippians 4, 6. So those are prayers for various needs, healing or guidance. Number five, type of prayer. Hallelujah. And then we have two more. Prayer of intercession. That is whereby now you are not praying for yourself. Whenever you mention intercession, you are interceding for somebody else. You are praying for others for healing or deliverance. Maybe you have heard somebody has been diagnosed with a terminal case. You go on behalf of them and intercede and pray. Abraham interceded on behalf of his nephew Lot, who was in Sodom and Gomorrah, his relatives. And God rescued them, even though the wife of Lot turned into pillar of salt because of disobedience. But we see a man, Abraham, just standing in the gap. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 18, 19 through 20, Again, I say to you that if you two agree on earth in touching anything you may ask, it shall be done for them by the Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst. You can gather your relatives, your family members, and able to come in agreement on behalf of another family, on behalf of a brother on drugs, on behalf of a brother who is addicted by something, on behalf of somebody who is backslidden. You can come in agreement and start to intercede together. Hallelujah. We find that the early church prayed for Paul and Silas when they were cast into prison and chained, and God rescued them. Hallelujah. Number five, prayer of intercession. No, I just said, I mean, number six, the last one. Just before we go to number six, let me say this about intercession. James 5:14 through 15 says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith. The word is faith. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. So however way and whichever prayer you're praying, you are to pray in faith. What is faith? Faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence that those things you hope for, you already have them. So faith is you believe that we are coming in agreement regarding so and so, regarding the situation there, and we believe God that when we agree, it shall be done by our Father in heaven. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says the prayer of faith. There in James 5:14, the prayer of faith, not the prayer of unbeliever, the prayer of faith will make the sick person well. So the Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. A lot of people say, why did I pray and nothing happened? Well, first check is you need to check your faith level. How do you build your faith? Through reading God's word. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So you read the word of God, you build up your faith. Actually, I recommend before you engage in this kind of prayer of intercession, you need to pray, you need to read the word, meditate on the word, and let the word build your faith. Amen? Praise the Lord. Number six, individual prayers. Spending time with one on one with God. Matthew 6:6 says, when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. I love the privacy of prayer. When I can lock the door in my house or wherever I am and just start to pray, Lord, I love you, I magnify, I glorify you. You are so awesome. Hallelujah. And because it is at that time, Jesus went off, you remember there in Luke 6:12, even Jesus himself practiced this, one-to-one with the Father. As a matter of fact, he loved his disciples, but this time he left them somewhere and went under, yonder, and he started to pray one-to-one with the Father. He spent the whole night in prayer. We are told Jesus spent the whole night in prayer. So some people, you may want to go and spend all night in prayer. That is okay. It's biblical. Jesus did. You can do it too. And finally, communal prayers, that is praying with other believers. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with many, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and brothers of Jesus. Hallelujah. A family can get together, call all your young ones, your everybody, come together and start to worship and praise God. Hallelujah. Bible says, therefore confess, James 5:16. Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. You can lay hands on your sister, you can lay hands on your brother, you can lay hands on your friend. You know, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person. Notice, you need to underline that. James 5:16, in closing, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Never underestimate the prayer of a person. When somebody starts to pray and seek the Lord, something supernatural happens. Amen. So glory to God. I love you. I appreciate you. And that's all you need to know about this. Not that all you need to know, but I commend you start practicing prayer. As by the way, when you start to pray, revelations will come. There was a time I used to spend just about 2 minutes. I feel like I've prayed for so long. But now I can start praying and an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours goes by and it's like just a minute. When you start to practice the presence of the Lord, something happens. And so, Father, I thank you for every single person. Lord, I pray the spirit of prayer will come upon them in a mighty and awesome way, that they will experience breakthroughs they have never experienced before. I thank you for it. And I thank you for giving them answers to their prayers today. In Jesus' name, God bless you. We love you. And until next broadcast, we'll see you then. God bless. Amen.